thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Whenever I got the invitation, the Holy Spirit just dropped one word into my heart, and it was beginnings. Beginnings. It wasn't a text. It wasn't. My mind jumped straight to Genesis chapter 1. We'll go there. But I had to search and find out. But it was just clearly beginnings. And we're going to be reading shortly from Philippians chapter 1, so don't forget to tell you. But we'll read a few verses out of that. But it was just, God wants to bring more beginnings. And it fits in a way, of course, 25 years ago, something began here. And that generation, as we've heard, entered into that. It's one thing hearing about a beginning. It's quite another thing entering into that beginning. But they did 25 years ago. And this is just such a fantastic facility, as has been said, isn't it? It's a blessing, isn't it? You know, just to have all that we have here for the glory of God. But I was thinking about beginnings. And then I started to think about the Lord. And the Lord doesn't have any beginning, does he? I was going, how's this going to work out, Lord? And I started to think about the Lord, though, and seriously, you know, he's amazing. I can't grab the concept of God not having a beginning, but I believe that God is eternal. And he is eternal, and especially because the Bible tells us that. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is your refuge. Oh, the eternal God is your refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. I'm just thinking of these arms that don't stop. They just keep going and going and going. But it really, God is saying to us, you know, that his reach reaches into every situation, every place, every heart, every thought, every corner of the universe is so easy for him because he's eternal. But he's the God who brings beginnings. And this is the thing. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who was and is to come, is the one who brings beginnings, yet he has no beginning. So I started to think about beginnings some more, and I went to John chapter 1 verse 1, and it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word didn't have a beginning, but he was there in the beginning. And he was with God. But he was God. So we see in the Trinity, the second person of the Trinity was with God. In the oneness of the Trinity, but he was God. But he was there at the beginning. He brought the beginning. And we can think of the gospel as the beginning of the gospel. It's great to be saved this morning, isn't it? We didn't get too far away saying that. Glory to God. It is great to be saved. Isn't that good? It's great. But he brings those beginnings. Whenever I thought of this word beginning, arche, it does send us back to the beginning of all things, Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created. He spoke. And we are an echo of what he said at the beginning. Some people would tell you that some explosion happened somehow and everything came into order. Now, we could take a stick of dynamite and go to the quarry as many times as you want and blow something up in the quarry, and you're not going to get a house out of it, or a garage out of it, or a shop out of it. There's not going to be any order comes with that. God spoke at the beginning, brought a beginning. He brings the beginnings of all beginnings. Acts 17:24 says, God who made the world and everything in it. He began all things. And we can settle ourselves in this at least. We can't sort of grasp the eternity of God. We can settle in this, that God is the God of beginnings. Isn't it great to be saved? Amen. Do you remember the beginning of your salvation? Oh, what a glorious day. I was really happy that day because joy entered my soul. The joy is a person, and his name is Jesus. And he entered my heart through his Holy Spirit and brought revelation of eternal things. That I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven, not to hell. And my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you have anything to rejoice in today, child of God, rejoice in that. It is great to be saved. So in the midst of all of this goings on, of wondering out what God meant by beginnings, he dropped something into my heart. He wants to begin something. I believe he has already begun something here again for the next 25 years or as long as he would tarry. But he just wants to maybe begin something in hearts or renew the beginning of something in hearts again this morning, because Jesus is coming back, isn't he? And we have a great commission to bring the kingdom into this world and tell people about Jesus. But he wants to begin in our hearts again, that we would share his gospel in lost hearts. That's what he wants to begin. And he wants you to do it. To begin sharing Jesus again with the lost. You may be giving up on that idea because things didn't happen the way you wanted them to. Well, I'm telling you this morning, I believe God wants you to begin to do that again. And he'll begin something in you if you'll trust him and enter into that vision. Just like 25 years ago, they got a vision. I have to come out here and build a church. They entered into that vision. Are you willing to do that this morning? Oh, you've got to convince me. And I'm moving on. Are you willing to do that this morning? Amen. 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 Let's read together. And as we read, I want you to keep a little ear to what Paul is saying to this church, because it's very much about joy, but it's very much about the gospel, and it's very much about Jesus coming back again and having confidence in Jesus and trusting in Jesus. And I tell you this, what God begins, God will finish. He will finish. Let's read together. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. Right from the outset, the focus is Jesus Christ. You read through this letter, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Let's read verse 1 again. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you, all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul marks out a beginning in their lives, their salvation, their gospel living, and how they will continue no matter what they face, no matter what comes against them, until the day of Jesus Christ. And in the heart of this message is joy. And I want to emphasize joy for a few moments, because we really need joy. Joy doesn't depend on what happens around you. Joy depends upon Jesus. And Jesus is constant, and he is our constant joy. So if you're feeling a bit down today, stop looking at whatever you're looking at and start looking to Jesus again, and you will find a consistency of joy. Jesus is joy. What a motivator, and we need it. I'll describe a little the ancient world, but it's just painted a little different. It's exactly the same today. But people are lost. People are in a depraved condition, doing depraved things. The world around us is getting so darkened. Things that are disgusting and immoral are being accepted. And things that are righteous and right are being twisted and rejected. But God will have his day. God will have his day. The world then and the world now is unfortunately poison coated with sugar. People are tasting and banning and dying of it. And they need Jesus. And for us as a church to minister into those situations without getting caught up in those situations, we need the joy of the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you need strength today? You can get some strength when you go to the gym. This is a different strength. This is a spiritual strength. This is an invigorating strength. This is a strength that keeps you going and going and going and going and going and doesn't run out, because it is in the eternal God and revealed in us in Christ Jesus. And that's how Paul, he addresses this church. Paul started this church in his second missionary journey. You can see it in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas, they got chucked into prison at that time. And they're singing hymns in there. Brother, I don't know how, but the more I go on, the more I realize and get revelation of it. They went into prison, they were singing hymns. Somebody chucked you into prison today, would the first thing that come to your mind is say, here, better sing a hymn. But the joy of the Lord was their strength. Well, Paul finds himself in prison again. He wants to do a ministry for Jesus. No smoking lights. Prison. And he writes to the church of Philippi, and the heart of his message is full of joy. Joy. And not that joy, how you doing, brother?
I'm all right. It's great to be saved.
Boys, wasn't that at all? The word kara, joy, is rejoicing joy. A thunderous joy, a proclaiming into the heavens with the angels joy. And I know that there's reverence in quietness and stillness, but there's also reverence in rejoicing in the Lord. As long as the Lord is the focus and we're orderly in our rejoicing, there's so much celebration can be had. And just knowing Jesus. Knowing that you're created to worship Jesus. And even if they put you into the darkest natural prison on earth, you're still saved and going to heaven. And that is something to rejoice in. We shall enter his courts with what? Thanksgiving and praise. So if you're not being thankful, sort that one out and that'll lead you into praise. Start thanking God for something that'll lead you into praise. Thank God that Jesus is in your heart and he's not going anywhere. Isn't that something to rejoice in? I really want to preach this into your heart before we get on to the next little part. But there has to be a spirit of rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. We're to draw deeply out of the wells of our salvation. It's too simple. But it's not simplistic. We're the complicated bit. Turn from that and just do it. Just do it. Do it right now. Start thinking about Jesus right now. Oh, but there's this, there's that, there's the other. Start thinking about Jesus. It's been prayed and recognized and revealed to us the Lord Jesus Christ is here. Do you believe that this morning? I truly believe that. He's here. He's right in the midst of us. I'm only a clay pot, but he's making me speak and say things. I can feel him in me. I can feel him in the worship and in the prayers. He's here in the fellowship. The Lord is here. And that is something to rejoice in. When is the last time you burst with joy? It's so easy to complain. I know that you don't do it. But all it takes is a wee bit of traffic. You'll be sitting there 5 minutes. And the joy of the Lord is not your strength. Takes so little at times. And it's something that we'll have to discipline ourselves in. And recognizing the Lord with us. And having songs to sing unto him. To rejoice in him. Too many sad Christians today because there's performance-based Christianity. And it's either one or two things. I'm so bad, but if I'm doing a bit better today, God likes me. Not true. Jesus died for you before. You could even ask him. Or the other thing is, the music wasn't nice enough, or the lights weren't good enough, or carnal Christianity, wrong as well. It is, what did Paul say, Galatians 2:20? It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. We live in a selfie society, don't we? Click. Take pictures of our dinner and all, and everything, cups of water. Selfie, selfie, selfie. Focuses on self. That's satanic. Satan wanted Christ's throne, God's throne, for himself, crown himself. He knows you're designed to worship God, so he'll get you to focus on yourself. But Paul says it's no longer I who lives. It's not about me. It's Christ who lives in me. Oh, if we could die daily to that revelation, we would be rejoicing. And we need it. We need it. We need that rejoicing heart. Because the devil is real. The devil is real. And if you're not saved here this morning, you're going to go to hell. I remember a person saying to me one time, it was very harsh, telling people turn or burn. It was fair enough. But the reality is, if they don't turn, they will burn. It's not a nice thing. Thinking of going to a place where you can't escape, and once you're there forever. No. That's what the devil wants for you, not Jesus. And the devil will do what he can to distract you, to discourage you. Are you discouraged this morning? I wonder, are you discouraged? That's not from the Lord. It's not from the Lord. The Lord didn't promise you an easy ride, but a wonderful ending. But on this journey through, he would do things in your weakness to bring him glory. To bring him glory. Even in a prison, you could write with joy to a church because you're rejoicing in their salvation with them. There's a place we have to move into, the kingdom life of the King. Not of the self, of the King, to realize that there's an enemy and he wants to do everything that he can to rob your confidence, to discourage you. I wonder if you got a family member this morning and they're not walking with Jesus. And they might be doing things and you're absolutely horrified, but at the same time scared stiff, and at the same time broken, and at the same time afraid. Don't water that plant anymore. Turn away from it. Look to Jesus again and start loving him and speaking truth into their lives. And just keep going. Just keep going. Just keep loving them. Just keep speaking truth into their lives. You want to go in and tell them that they're wrong, they can tell you far better about that than you can. Start telling them what is right. But share it with love. And don't give up. Don't give up. One soul plucked out of hell forever. What a glorious thing. I am so glad that somebody told me about Jesus. That somebody had the confidence in Christ to walk up to me and tell me about Jesus. And you know what it brought flooding back in? All the love of Christians over the years. All the Sunday school stories from years and years that I thought I'd never remember again. All came alive again. Listen, God is sovereign and God is on the throne. And God has given us not a commission, but a great commission. A great commission. And we're to plunder hell on the way to heaven. I don't know who said that, but isn't it a great thing? Plunder hell on the way to heaven. The reality is this for us, that we work from a place of victory. Oh Lord, give us the victory. He already has. What are we saying to the Lord? He didn't quite cut it at Calvary. The cross didn't quite cover it all. Yes, it did. So we work from victory. We could maybe pray to the Lord for breakthroughs. Pray to the Lord for harvest. Pray to the Lord that he would have mercy and bring conviction, not just on souls. If you're not saved this morning, I pray to God that you feel the weight of your sin and how wretched that it is, and that you turn from it and trust in Jesus, because it is great to be saved. It's great to be free from the sting of death. Even if I die and they put me in the grave, it's seamless. I'm with the Lord. Is that good news or what? Come on. Come on. Come on. We live from victory. That's why Paul in verse 6 says, being confident. Be confident, Christian. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun, the God of beginnings. What did he begin? A good work. A gospel work in your heart. A Christ work in your heart. A salvation work in your heart. A forgiveness work in your heart. A mercy work. A love work. Agape love. Sacrificial, eternal work in your heart. You know what he's going to do? He's going to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What's the day of Jesus Christ? Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. All of the sound of a trumpet and the heavens will burst open. And you know, there'll be many surprised, but none will be mistaken. None will be mistaken when the King comes again. And he won't be coming as a wee lamb or lamb. He'll be coming as the Lamb, or the Lamb of Judah. He'll be coming in power. Glory to God. So we live with confidence and with joy in this gospel that we have. Be confident in that. But I'm going to ask you to do something else that might seem strange. Ask the Lord for tears. Ask the Lord to break your heart for what breaks his. Ask the Lord to let you see what he sees. There's so many people today that we could call out for doing so many things that are wrong, but we do not battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. These people are lost. You see their wretched acts. It's just an expression of what controls them, and it's satanic. Thank God he has overcome, and whenever we speak in, we speak with the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. And wherever you are, no matter how dark it is, even if it's in a prison, you are light. And light is never overcome by darkness. Ever. Ever. And you might be plowing, you might be sowing, you might be watering. Well, whoever's reaping, we will rejoice with you. And thank God for the reaping and the harvesting for the glory of God. And I tell you, what God has begun in us, he will bring it into completion. Have confidence in that. Right until Jesus comes back again. I was thinking about this, you know. How long have I lived, brother? I love your pastor. Got my sense of humour. Until he comes back. I want to draw this into the two things, because whenever I was pondering about all of the things that we were talking about there for a moment, I thought of Ballymoney. Obviously, it was coming here, so it was an association, but I thought about it. But I also thought about the gospel, not just the cross, but just beyond the cross, before Jesus rose again. In that space, we think of the gospel, we think of the cross, yes, but he's not there, is he? He'd done other stuff after the cross too. And if all we tell people is, you're a dirty, rotten sinner, you're going to hell, going, well, may as well enjoy it in a way. No, there's more to it than that. There's death. Well, that's a bit more sober than I can relate to that. Well, Jesus done something just after that. But before we get to that, talk about this joy and this gospel sharing. And God done many things when we were here, and I got to be part of that, and it was brilliant. It was so good. But one of the things that he begun in us was to get out. And we took the kids around to see where we used to live, and we took them down the main street. And we'd done the doors and all. And we went out to do this mission, and there's a retired lady in this church, I'll not mention her name, but me and her, we'd done the doors together. We were knocking doors. And we knocked this particular door, and this fella came out, and he was all dressed in black. He had black makeup on. And he goes, how you doing, mate? Do you want a track? We're going to have a mission. No. I was like, okay, I got the point there. And the music and all was going on in the background. And this lady turns around and goes, Ach, son, you're okay, you know, fine, right? And he just opened up in a whole other way. And this lady had never shared the gospel like this before. And he just opened up his heart completely. And you seen the wee boy coming out as she was mothering him. And he says, oh, thanks very much. Shared the gospel. And I went out with that lady around the doors, and I thought, well, I'll just introduce you to this. She had me in every house in the housing estate, praying for people and all sorts of stuff. All these doors opened. Never would have happened. That would never would have begun if I didn't go out. I also remember, too, we went down the main street, and there's other retired people in here. They weren't all retired now. Some of them wishing they're retired. No. Went down the street, and at the bottom of the street, there's a way across into Tesco, isn't that right? And it was in there. It was set up. We had bands and all this. Lady in this church, I would just say she's more mature in her age, in her years. And she stood in the main street and shared her gospel for the first time like that. And her husband, well, it's Mervyn, stood. And I looked out on the road. And Mervyn was in through this window of this car, giving the fella Dixie. He was really going for it. And he was just flat out. And the cars were backed up the whole way up the main street. I didn't take a pincer, Mervyn. Next one, then again. How you doing? Sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel. God began things. God was doing things. And I believe that God wants to begin things again. He wants you to be sharing the gospel again. Get out of this conditioning that we're coming into church and now we're Christians. It's all of life. In your home again, start sharing the gospel again. Share it with love and truth. Don't be sticking the finger out. Here, if it's all opened up and laid bare, we all leave a lot to be desired, don't we? We all need the grace of God. But in your workplace, in your school place, we had our kids, primary school kids, and we were telling them that they needed to tell their friends about Jesus. So they went into the schoolyard, and they got a wee worship team. And they had a worship time, and they started preaching to their mates. And some of their mates got saved and started to come to the church. And we went out to the back garden during the summer, and they were taking communion. We just weren't sure what to do with that, but we were thanking God that it was happening, you know. Just interrupting the world. Who's the enemy think he is? We serve God Almighty. We have confidence in Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter and the finisher of our faith. And I'm challenging you today, even begin to open up your heart and begin to say, I'm going to start sharing again about Jesus. Not just in church here, but outside this church. I just want to finish just with getting to the cross. I want you to think of our Jesus hanging on that cross. He wasn't a victim. He chose to be there for you. He was no victim. He said, I'm going to that cross. Peter tried to stop him. He says, get you behind me, Satan. I'm going to that cross. I'm going to die for you. I love you. I'm going to die for you. Die for your sins to get you back with God. And see, as dying on that cross, there was two thieves. One thief started to mock him. Oh, look at this. Who do you think you are? Look at you hanging here. And the other thief is going, whoa, hold on a minute. Me and you deserve to be here, this man. He hasn't done a thing wrong, nothing. Luke 23, done nothing wrong. And Jesus is in the middle. And he's listening to this conversation going on. And realizes that he is being rejected by one, but accepted by the other. And as the other accepts him, he draws him in, and the promises of God become alive to the one who accepts Jesus. And Jesus says this, today, do you ever think about this? Today you will be with me in paradise. Because where Jesus is, paradise is. Today you'll be with me in paradise. You see, paradise was in Hades. And Hades, before Jesus got there, was below. And in Hades, there was two sections. A righteous section, that's where the saved thief went to. And an unrighteous section, that's where the unbeliever went to. This place, Luke 16. This unrighteous place was the place of torment. You remember the rich man? Tormented. No soul sleep there. Tormented. And this gulf, a reachable gulf, Abraham's bosom in the other, was a place of comfort. And that's where Jesus went, and he preached. And he preached his gospel. And where is it? Revelation 1:18. he got the keys of what? Death and Hades. What do keys do? Open doors. And he opened the door from the sting of death. Psalm 24, verse 7. As he opened up the door, do you know what heaven was doing? Yes, yes, yes. And the psalmist gets a revelation and says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? It's the Lord Jesus Christ Almighty. And the righteous place of Hades and paradise went into heaven. A second place for paradise. The unrighteous are left in the bowels of the earth for final judgment. But paradise in heaven. And they were received. And the Bible says Paul knew a man, and I believe it was John. And in 2 Corinthians 12, 2-4, it says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. We have the heavens above us here naturally, and there's a spiritual realm there, but there's at least a third one. He's seen into the heavenlies. It says, and I know such a man, whether in body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise. Do you see it? He's caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. But paradise isn't staying in heaven. There's a third place for paradise. See it in John's revelation. I'll open it up a little. Revelation 2 verse 7. He who has an ear. Have you got an ear to hear this morning? Because I'm coming to an end and God wants to speak. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Kind of feast in that tree in the midst of the paradise of God. But the paradise of God's on a journey too with Jesus. Because in Revelations 21, 1-4, John says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city. Think about this. The new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Listen to that. No more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And the new things will come. Christ's paradise will come with him to planet Earth. And your
love is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.